Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, how do certain stories affect the world's perception of Saudi Arabia?
The Holy Quran is the exalted centerpiece of Islam. Muslims wouldn't dare disrespect it, and they would certainly not throw it into a pile of rubbish. But recently in Saudi Arabia, the country in which the Holy Book was revealed, state organizations have desecrated the Quran by discarding over 50 copies in the street sewage canals of Taif. A photo that shows the desecrated book has gone viral on the internet. Out of respect to the Holy Quran, we shall not be showing it. But this isn't the first time that the book has been desecrated in Saudi Arabia. Earlier this year, the move by prison officials in a province in Saudi Arabia to insult the Holy Book led to protests in various parts of the kingdom. Today's Islam and Life asks, how do these certain stories affect the world's perception of Saudi Arabia?
There are lots of stories, the situation and sometimes the way the Saudi government is dealing with sites in Mecca and in Manida, the stories about the Quran and when, for example, the desecration of the Quran is happening in Saudi Arabia, while we know how much this is important for Muslims. We know about stories in the United States and we know about stories around the world, but when it comes to Muslims dealing with the symbol of Islam, which is the sacred book, this is something which is quite critical. And we can add to this other questions about the role of Saudi Arabia and the perception Muslims have around the world about the role of Saudi Arabia. When we see things happening there in the country, the way sometimes the symbols of Islam are treated, and the way, for example, in the name of combating shirk and association, we end up with, in fact, not being faithful to the Islamic message, these are questions that are important. And we have to ask these questions and try to tackle these questions, because this is where the Muslims, not only the Muslims, any human beings who have questioning or are questioning the very essence of human dignity and religious freedom and religious respect towards the symbol of any religion, we have to ask this question and try to tackle this question from within and as people living in the West or in Muslim-majority countries. And to answer all these questions, I'm joined by my guest, Middle East analyst Dr. Saeed El-Shihabi. Thank you so much for being with us today. We are talking here about something which is quite critical. Because for us, for Muslims around the world, Mecca is the center, Al-Kaaba is the sacred mosque for all the Muslims. This is where we are turning our face five times a day at least. And this is where we can see that sometimes the symbol of Islam, the Quran, is not respected. So let me start with this. As Muslims, and when we talk about Al-Quran Al-Karim, which is the sacred book, how do we have to deal with it, to deal with the book as Muslims? And then we can add to this to all the symbols that we have as Muslims, dealing with the center, dealing with the center of our spirituality, the center of our faith, in fact, in a geographical way. How do we have to deal with that?
It's my pleasure to be with you, Dr. Ramadan, and to be to appear on this show. And I would like to start by saying that Quran is the essence of Islam. Quran is Islam. Quran contains the sciences of the past, a future outlook, and also building man. Man is the essence of this universe, the essence of creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man to be the master of the world, but through worshiping God. And Quran is here to perfect man. Now, how much we take it, of course, without Quran, we are nothing. And how much we should serve, how much we should contemplate and really study the Holy Quran depends on the people. But if you, we know that Allah has ordered us to pray five times a day, and in each part of this prayer, we have to recite the Quran. But this is the absolute minimum. We should أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها. Don't they read really study and
understand,
go deep,
yeah.
and understand the Quran or are their hearts locked? We should not let our hearts be locked. We should always have an open heart, especially when we study the Quran.
So this is all bringing us to the Quran as the revealed book. How come then we are having, or we see at the center of, or the beginning, the source of the Islamic message, where the Quran was revealed, things that are quite, you know, worrying about the way we are dealing with al-Qur'an al-Karim sometimes, where, you know, we know that al-Qur'an la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. It means that the purified people, the people who are very cautious and very conscientious with the various sense of their faith, that have to be very cautious with the Qur'an, and we see things that are not so respectful when it comes to the way we deal with the essence of the message.
Here we have a few points to make with regards to the Holy Quran in the Arabian Peninsula itself. Of course, we know that the Quran was revealed on our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And then since then, the ulama have dealt with it extensively. Now, it is not just reading the Quran that is important. It's not the tajweed, the way we read it. Although I have a point to make here, and that is, even in the way the tajweed is being done, the way that the recitation of the Holy Quran is being done, there is now, for the past 20 years or so, a domination by the Saudis. The Saudis do not allow the Egyptian way of reading the Quran, like Abdul Basit, Abdul Samad, and Al-Minshawi, to dominate. Now, you rarely hear their voices. It is only the readers, the reciters from Saudi Arabia, who are promoted everywhere. But this is it is a prominent phenomena.
Now, which in itself is wrong, because this has to be the best reading, should be the one that we are putting in the front, and sometimes it's becoming now very nationalistic.
Unfortunately so, yeah. But what is important to me is the essence of the Quran. What is there between the two covers of the Holy Quran? What is there is important.
The substance, the message.
The substance, the manhaj, the system, the way we should... Quran, you can become a Quranic man and you can become just an evil man. The Quranic man, the Quranic character is mentioned. There are from the very first... verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-Kitab wa la rayba fihi, Hudan lil-Muttaqin. There's no doubt about this book. There is a guidance in it for those who are pious. And then, who are the pious? Alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghayb. And this is where the secret of the whole Islam is. Yu'minuna bil-ghayb, believing in the unseen. Of course, not believing in fables, but believing that the laws of God are applicable. So the law of God, I will just finish this important point.
Yeah.
The law of God that had been executed on Mubarak, that he served his term and went away, can also apply to the Saudi monarchs. This is al-ghayb. Do we believe in that? If we do believe, then we can change ourselves to the better.
Yes, but you know, you can have people in the government, in the Saudi government today saying, this is exactly our point. We deal with the substance, and now the Quran as a book is not so important. So when we see what is happening in the streets, in some streets in Saudi Arabia, this is not very important. What is very, this could be shirk, this could be association. While the Muslims were very much reacting when we had a burning Quran day in the state, saying this is not acceptable because this is the sacred book of the Muslims. So we have a reaction that are worldwide around when it comes to somebody who is a man who is provoking, you know, this controversy in the states. And when we have this in Saudi Arabia, which in fact could be exactly the same, we don't have reactions. So if they tell you it's the substance and not the book, can we agree on that? We should have respect to the book as well.
Well, I think the Holy Quran as a book, even if it is a book of music. You do not go and tear it or spit on it, let alone the book of
what
God.
What was even happening in Guantanamo even, yeah.
Well, yes, we know what happened when they put the, when they flushed some parts of the Quran in the toilet somewhere in Afghanistan and sometimes in Guantanamo. And then when the priest Jones tried to burn the Quran in America, the whole world erupted. And they have the right to do so. You cannot go and attack those sensitive matters that belong to the others. Even with Bible, do I like to see somebody burning the Bible? No, why should it be burned?
So that's exactly my point. We are talking about what is happening in other countries, in the state. Now we come back to Saudi Arabia, and we have things like this. We also heard in the recent past that some of the places, some of the sites, some of the you know, some places that are so important in the Islamic legacy and what we call Turath, which is our tradition, are just saying we are not respecting this because all this is shirk, is associating something to God. Our worship is to God alone, so we don't care about that. While this is very important, we are talking about sites, we are talking, so there is here something which is claiming to protect Islam, while from within there are things that are done in the name of this protection that are very worrying. So in fact, there are questions that we have to ask about, is this hypocrisy? Is this the real way of protecting Islam? What would be your take on that?
Well, I'm so much incensed by these events. I have followed how much destruction has been inflicted on the holy sites. Look, any nation in the world has its own historical belongings, historical valuable Turath or legacies. Yeah. Now, to go and destroy them is wrong. Any nation. Now, for Islam, we have Mecca and Medina contain the most of the legacies of the time of the Holy Prophet. Yes. Now, I can tell you this. At least 90% of those Islamic heritage sites have been destroyed. The people of Hijaz, which where Mecca and Medina are at the western coast of Arabia, are so much incensed and upset because they see that their heritage is being systematically demolished.
How would you explain that?
I really would not go into detail because then I do not want to go into talking about apostasy and this thing, because I cannot understand how the heritage of King Abdul Aziz is being maintained in Riyadh with a museum for him, with his car, his Cadillac car, with his stick, with his cigar holder, and with his tasbih rosary, all being maintained. I cannot understand why the heritage of the Jews in Khaybar is maintained, which is good. I don't want anybody to go and destroy the Jewish.
It's important for history and memory. Yeah.
But why should it be kept while the Islamic heritage is being systematically destroyed?
Because the point, some of the scholars, the ulama, the Salafi ulama, what we call Wahhabi ulama, are saying we should be very cautious when it comes to religion, because if we protect the site, we are worshipping the means while we have to worship Allah alone. So this is shirk. What would be your take on that?
Look,
from an Islamic viewpoint.
The Muslims have been encouraged by the Quran to build mosques. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. Only those people who believe in God would construct and look after mosques. Now, when I see the mosques in Mali, when I see the mosques in Libya, when I see the mosque in Tunisia, when I see the mosque in Egypt, and then when I see how the Saudi invasion of Bahrain in 2011 led to the destruction of 40 mosques, then I question myself and I question the whole world. What is happening? Why do we go after the heritage of others, the mosques of others, and bomb them and destroy them? Why? I mean, I just want to make sense of it. In the same way, I was very upset when I saw the Buddhist statue in Bamiyan in Afghanistan destroyed in 1992 or so.
We had some scholars around the world saying this is not the way we go with this. this we have to respect, you know, the status and also the holy places of other spiritualities and religion. Now, when it comes to Islam, there is something that we have in the Quran itself. Siru fil ard, wandhuru. You have to travel around the world and to look at places, and once again to reduce our protection of some sites as being shirk or association is a very reductive way of dealing with history. Because in fact, history is helping us to protect our memory. And memory is dhikr, is remembrance, is the way we are connected to God. So in fact, is distorting the message from within in a way which is what we have now in Mecca, is the holy sites are disappearing and we have malls where now people are going to buy. It's becoming a consumerist society around Mecca.
Dr. Ramadan, tell me one logical explanation for turning the Holy Kaaba into a subservience of the modern Western architecture. I mean, why do we need in Mecca to have the tallest tower.
Tower, yeah.
And the largest clock in the world. Yeah. Why do we need that?
Yeah.
We have, the Muslims come in 2 million, 3 million a year, and they are so happy to see anything connecting them to their past, yes, to the early days of the Holy Prophet. They didn't come all the way from...
This is really the consumerist, capitalistic
materialistic,
dealing with this. Yes,
yes.
Exactly, which is the opposition. It's in contradiction with the very essence of the message that we are talking about. Now, let me come to a final point, which is, I think, very important, is that all what we are saying here is that around the world, if you deal with and talk to Muslims around the world, they know that this is the center. They are not very happy with what is happening in Saudi Arabia. They are not very happy with the government there. They feel, and this is everywhere that we say, this is hypocrisy and there are lots of contradictions. So how do we deal with this? How do we have to deal with this issue? Because many are scared, they don't want to talk. And in the West, in fact, people are not talking because they have the money. The petromonarchies have the money and we don't talk, and especially Saudi Arabia, which is an ally of the Western countries today. So we are talking about, you know, democracies everywhere, but we don't want democratic processes there. So how do we have to deal with this? Because the perception is mainly negative, and still this is the center of the Islamic world. Could it be a liberation if we are not trying to reform what is happening there?
I think the whole Arabia needs to be reformed. We cannot continue to have the center of the Muslim Islamic world still living in the backward and in the old ages. You cannot have a monarchy, an absolute monarchy, where the throne is inherited by the son from the father, from the grandfather, and then all the hierarchical structure goes back to the family. You cannot have this. This is antiquated, old, immoral, unethical. You have to have a proper, modern, in line with Islam. Islam does never...
So what you are saying is that this is in contradiction with the Islamic principles.
I do not believe Islam condones monarchy in the way we are seeing it, where the whole wealth of the whole of the nation is concentrated and plundered by a small group of people just because of their creed or their ethnicity or their tribal linkage. I think this is wrong. It should come to an end.
Yes, but it means what? How can we change that? Because we know that just in geostrategic terms, these are protected countries. And as you know, Saudi Arabia is protected, and we don't want anything to change over there. The West and some, you know, of course, the government now and the monarchy now. So what could be the discourse coming from Muslims? Because in fact, all what we have been talking about, the way we are dealing with the Quran, the way we are dealing with holy sites, the way we are dealing with the Islamic principles, this is all in contradiction. So the picture is quite bad. So now, for the last 50 years, Muslims around the world are quite quiet. They are complaining, saying this is not Islamic, but still nothing is changing. So what could be a constructive discourse and commitment to change the situation?
I think the Muslims must look really at what is happening in the Arab world now, especially in the past 3 years since the Arab Spring. We should really go into the details of what has happened. How did this Arab Spring come to a standstill? Why the largest democracy, promising democracy in Egypt, to me, I look at Egypt as always the key to the Arab world. If there is change, there will be, in Egypt,
but
there
Saudi,
will be
Saudi Arabia was supporting the military.
But the Saudis, because they do not want any other Muslim entity to compete with them, in, especially if it is Islamist. Any other Islamist group will be a challenge to their authority. It is depriving them of the moral domination. And this is why they were so fierce and so cruel in dealing with those groups in Egypt, especially the Muslim Brotherhood, not because of mistakes. This is all nonsense, mistakes committed by Morsi or by... I am sure they committed many mistakes, but that does not justify the way, the bloodbath that was really allowed to run in Egypt.
Thank you so much. I think that if we try to summarize our discussion and get the main points out of this, the first, what you were saying, it's quite important. We have to come back to the Islamic principles. And one of the essence is the substance of the message, not only the book. And we have here two things. Respecting the book means also respecting the substance. And right. On the two dimensions, we can see that, in fact, the symbol of not respecting the book is also the way we see that the message is not respected in the way we deal with the holy sites, in the way we deal with Muslims, in the way we deal even with the economic system, in the way we deal also with the surrounding countries and having and getting being in power without sharing anything, keeping the money, not sharing it with people, and supporting even dictators around. And this means for the Muslims to be involved, to try to understand that as much as we are respecting the essence, the center, we should liberate the center from any contradictions with our Islamic principles. And I think that this was a very important point. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
We at Islam in Life would like to hear your views about the subjects that we discuss. We would also love to hear your suggestions for our program, so get in touch with us. You can share your thoughts with other Islam in Life fans, engage in debate, and find out how to watch our previous shows. Follow us on Twitter at Islam in Life TV, or join us on Facebook by liking our page, Islam in Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Dr. Saeed Eshihabi. Thank you so much for being with us. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.